are listening to the Cap and Haw Show.
I'd have to look at the tape, Dan.
All right, we'll get back to some more bull stuff. I just made a call and asked how you handle administrating the situation when David Blatt's calling a timeout. We'll get into that a little later. We've got to get some Bears combo in here with the Bears on the grass, finally, with their draft picks. Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Sun-Times joins the Cap and Haw Show on CSN.
Tribune.
WGN
Plus. Tribune.
Sorry, Chicago Tribune. I was looking at my Sun-Times. Weeds, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Dan.
Cap just tried to trade me, David.
No, I know. We've not traded. When you came here from Minnesota, I had no trade clause put in.
Don't have enough to acquire your rights.
Morning, Dan.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
What was your take on the activities on the grass the first time for John Fox with the rookies? As you have two players, key draft picks for two teams, blowing out ACLs. I'm sure everyone holds their breath when guys go down early.
Yeah, no question. I think that's what you have to do is keep all this in context and perspective. It's an early May rookie mini camp. It doesn't mean a whole lot in the big picture of things, but it is the first chance to get a look at those six draft picks that the Bears took a week ago. And you have a chance to see some of the potential in these guys. You have a chance to see a little bit of the deficiencies and some of the things that each of these guys has to work on. And so you get that first glimpse. And obviously, I think all eyes start with Kevin White, the first-round pick. And you see him up close, and you see the way he moves, and you can understand the athleticism and sort of the dynamic ability he has that attracted the Bears to him. And then it's all about, can he get comfortable moving around, understanding how to run routes from different places, understanding how to run routes from different sides. And we'll see how long that takes for that growth curve to take hold, because obviously they've got a ways before the week one arrives. But obviously there's a lot of work to do with this kid to turn him into the playmaker that they want him to be.
Dan, you can't tell a lot about linemen when you're talking about going and practicing without pads, but Eddie Goldman left the first practice either winded, injured, or both. What was that attributed to? Was it just a guy that, you know, was a little bit out of shape and then lost his legs and was a little bit dehydrated? How was that explained?
Yeah, he said on Saturday that his back tightened up a little bit on him on Friday. He was back for the next 2 days and seemed to be doing much better after the first day that he had to leave the field. You have to keep in mind that these guys go through a pretty rigorous process preparing for the draft, and whether it's the combine and the pro days and all the training they do. And then in the last month before the draft, there's so many visits and there's so much traveling around. Some of these guys get out of shape a little bit. And Eddie Goldman even joked that he had to sit in a middle seat and coach on his flight up to Chicago for the rookie camp. So he blamed a little bit
for
his back tightening up on him.
So the Bears' second-round draft pick is coming to their rookie mini camp for the first time, probably paying for himself or the team flying him, and he's got a middle seat in coach?
And he said it was a full flight, and he couldn't move around. So he was just joking that was, you know, one of the reasons that the back wasn't feeling so good on Friday. But
wouldn't you put him in first class?
Maybe there was no seats.
You know, you think perhaps, right? If, you know,
bring him in Tuesday. Bring him in Wednesday.
There's a lot that goes into this, but you think whether it be the team, the agent, somebody would get him some comfortable flight arrangements and get him here in a happy, healthy mood.
We're talking to Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune. All right, looking at the draft, it's hard to grade a draft until 3 years down the road. But most things that I've read, Bears are in the top five in perception of how they did in the draft. Do you agree with that perception?
Well, the only perception that I would draw a note to is the idea that Ryan Pace stayed very patient, he stayed very disciplined, and he didn't go out of his philosophy of drafting on need. And you know, he took the best player available in every round according to what was on their board. That wound up with the Bears taking four players on offense and only two on defense in a draft that a lot of people thought could be defense heavy because of all the needs there. But that's just Ryan Pace making a statement and saying, this is my philosophy and I'm going to stick to it. And it was his first test to prove that, and he did. Now, as you mentioned, it takes a long time to know whether these players can play or not. And so, you know, each one of these six players has a lot of things to like and a lot of things to be wary of, and we're just going to have to let it play out and figure out just how they can fit. But I will say this. The other thing that you notice about this Bears team when you get out to, whether it was the veteran mini camp a couple weeks ago or this rookie camp over the weekend, they have a very experienced very dialed in coaching staff. And I think that's going to be a very key element to taking these six draft picks and sort of catalyzing their development in a way that gets them ready to play as soon as they possibly can, because you just get the sense of the confidence and the experience the staff has. And I think that's something that we need to mention.
Speaking of that staff, Vic Fangio spoke for the first time remarkably since he was hired in January, finally met the media in May. So he had 5 months to prepare for that big moment. What were your impressions of what he said overall, and specifically how he supported the idea of Shea McClellan being an inside linebacker?
Well, I certainly think that was the most notable thing to come out of Vic Fangio's mouth when we had a chance to talk to him on Saturday, because he was asked what building blocks he saw that were left over from the previous regime that are here that he can build around on defense. And he first said that, look, the Bears gave up a lot of points and a lot of yards the last 2 years, and so the Bears are going to have to find their own building blocks as they go forward in this thing. But then he mentioned Kyle Fuller, and then the second name out of his mouth was Shea McClellan, along with Christian Jones and Jay Ratliff, as guys that he really likes and guys that he sees potential in. It's surprising because we all know Shea's struggles. We all know the bounce around that Shea has done. But clearly the staff was at least giving a public vote of confidence and giving Shea the idea that he has an opportunity if he can settle in at a position and maybe find a niche at inside linebacker that they're going to be able to do some things with him. Vic Fangio said he likes his instincts. He likes his ability to be versatile, be used as a blitzer, to be able to give them some opportunities to throw some different looks. We'll see how that all plays out. Again, it's a long way until week one. There's going to be a pretty fierce competition at linebacker throughout the summer and in the training camp. And there's a lot of things to be figured out. But certainly, I think it caught everyone's ears when Shea McClellan's name came up so early from the new D.C.
We haven't had a chance to ask you this. Were you surprised that the Bears only signed a free agent quarterback and didn't draft one during the process? You see the Packers trade up to get Brett Hundley, or no, I fully did not expect him to do anything more than what they did.
Well, you know, I thought it was always going to have to be the right guy for them. And so you don't force it just because you want to have another quarterback in that you want to take a look at. You don't just take a swing at a guy that you don't think fits what you're looking for. And so, you know, Ryan Pace was pretty clear that they didn't see anybody at the times that they were drafting in each of those six rounds that made sense to pick them where they picked them. And that's what I mean, staying patient, staying disciplined, not just doing that for the sake of doing that. Just go ahead and take the best player there, because you need the best players you can get to sustain success in this league. And so we'll see where it goes. I mean, obviously, I thought that, you know, when Bryce Petty was available into day three, you start to circle his name, but I don't think he was there when the Bears made their first pick on day three. And so, you know, I don't have a problem without them taking him. You still have to figure out your long-term future at the position. It just might not happen overnight. So for right now, you've got the sort of pecking order of Cutler and Clawson, and then maybe David Fales and Shane Carden fighting for the number three job in the summer in training camp.
What did Shane Carden look like?
You know, it's so hard to tell a lot, and so you don't want to cast huge judgments. He looks like he can throw the ball. He obviously has a confidence about him, and that was the report on him coming out of East Carolina, is that he just – John Fox used the word moxie, that there's just a passion that's contagious about him. And so he has a little bit of that intangible that you like, where you can fire the guys up around him. But whether that translates into being able to play in this league is a whole different matter.
You know what,
Dan?
We
really won't know that until we get him around some other players, not just a 56-player rookie minicamp without a surplus of talent running around.
How often do you hear an NFL coach describe a quarterback as having moxie and start to wonder about their arm strength?
Well, sure, right? I mean, it's always the give and take of what they're singling out. And so we'll see. I mean, nobody is under the delusion that Shane Carden is going to be anything more than, you know, a potential number three coming out of camp, and whether he has a chance to stick in this league, I don't know. But, you know, again, it's a long ways until anything really meaningful happens in training camp, and we'll be able to see a lot more of those guys under some brighter lights in Bourbonnais.
Hey, away from the Bears, we haven't had a chance to ask you about the Tom Brady news. What was your take on that? How long are you expecting to be suspended for? I saw I think it was Pro Football Talk, or one of them, said that the Patriots – oh, CSN New England. Patriots are privately fearing the worst, could be 6 to 8 games. What do you think?
Yeah, it's hard to know what this league does with discipline. I mean, you look at Ray Rice, got 2 games, and then now they're talking 6 to 8 for Tom Brady. What's funny to me, and I can't really put my finger on why, but this storyline has sort of bored me since early February. And I know it's a big deal, and I know there's reasons to you know, have it under the microscope it is, but it just hasn't grabbed me because, I don't know, it's just one of these things where it just feels like an NFL storyline blown into this national crisis, and it just doesn't capture me in that way. You know, did he cheat? I don't know. Does it matter in the grand scheme? They're still going to have their Super Bowl trophy. They're still going to have their rings. There's really not going to be a vacated Super Bowl. So I just haven't been able to expend much passion one way or the other on this thing. And I like I said, I can't pinpoint why. And I know I've taken some heat from people on Twitter saying, okay, so that means you're okay with cheating. No, I'm not okay with cheating. This particular storyline just feels like it's been so overcovered that it's kind of made me roll my eyes and turn away at times.
Oh, Dan, a story of deflation overblown. So before we let you go, you have to give us a Martellus Bennett update because it seemed like he was posting some odd things over the weekend or recently about being traded and being trade rumors or something to that effect on Instagram, if I'm right. I know you follow him religiously on Instagram and Twitter. But what is the latest with Martellus Bennett?
You know, there is no real latest right now. And it's one of those sort of mystery storylines here in the offseason of a guy who obviously hasn't been around. I don't know exactly. He hasn't really been on record with anyone of vocalizing what it is exactly that he's unhappy about. Now, obviously, we've mentioned it before. He's got, you know, no guaranteed money left on that four-year deal that he signed 2 years ago to join the Bears. But he still has plenty of money left on that contract. It's fair money, in my opinion, to play for the Bears for what he's given them the last 2 years. So I don't really know what's bothering Martellus or what would make him want to push for an exit from here. We really need to hear from him first, other than social media and Instagram accounts, to really know what's going through his brain. But certainly that's one of those storylines that we're going to have to track here through May and June, and one of those beautiful NFL melodramas that just won't go away until there's a final resolution to this. And we're not anywhere close to that now. Obviously, John Fox mentioned again over the weekend that he'd like Martellus here. He's not here. So far, everything's been voluntary, so there's not really much the Bears can do but sit back and wait and see where it goes next.
Appreciate the knowledge. All the best. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, boys. Talk to you soon.
See you, buddy. There he is, Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune.
Tribune.
Yeah, thank you. 312-235-2525. We'll get back to more of your calls. Don't forget, that's Wack Bros on Wednesday at 11:25. Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV at Apton Glenview. The Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come into App today and see the complete selection of Samsung electronics, or call them at 847-544-2228, 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience, shop where we shop. It's Apt, A-B-T. Apt.com, pleasing people since 1936. Take a fast time out. Get to Robert and Bourbonnais, Joe on the
and
west
we'll
side,
Illinois
and you.
Football when we come back.
Yeah, we got to get to that as well. Get these callers, get to Illinois football. That's in the news for disturbing reasons. So we'll talk about all of that. Be right back on Cap and Haw.
You're listening to the Cap and Haw Show.
Tim Beckman. I like Tim Beckman. I think he's a nice man. I've interviewed him. Tim, that's a weak move, man. Weak move. You're not even picking up the phone. No show. Weak. Weak.
Speak sauce.
Take that Illini helmet down. It's on probation for the day.
Is it gone? Take it out?
Down. On the floor for the day.
The Illini
helmet is moving.
We have just moved the Illinois helmet away from the table. Correct.
I can say that our academic standards have gone skyrocketing.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Mike, I don't know how you stay so organized, but he finds stuff from February 6th, last October 2nd, whatever it is. That was Feb 6th when Tim Beckman stiffed us on the show. And we've had a good relationship with him.
Yep.
They've been in the studio.
Yeah.
Hit him, John Gross, and Mike Thomas, the AD. Well, they're under fire this morning.
Yes, they are.
After a series of tweets by a former Illini football player.
Simon Savanovic,
saying that he was not told about certain things with his injury, that how much meniscus was taken out of his knee, not allowed to travel with the team to the bowl game after being a starter and at media day in the Big Ten, and not allowed to go to the banquet, a whole bunch
of
stuff.
Noise.
A lot of noise.
A lot of noise. And I think the trick is to, well, you can interpret it however you want, but I don't think it's to be dismissed. And I don't think you can dismiss this if you're the Illinois athletic director, if you're Tim Beckman, if you're the Illinois president. You have a player that represented your program for 5 years. You have a guy that was successful in your program by most accounts. Is he graduated?
Graduated.
Graduated, started over 30 games for you, was your starting offensive lineman. You represented your program at Media Day, at Big Ten Media Day in Chicago. Claims everything from being, you know, basically under the umbrella of an abusive experience. And from being a witness to other players being abused, to his own experience of being pushed to limits beyond what he thought was reasonable. Now, I think, again, there's two different aspects here. Number one, when you're a college football player, you have to understand and I think accept the fact that you are working for, and I use that term intentionally, I mean, these days you are – you know, considered an employee. Mm-hmm. People want to be, you consider you an employee, but you are, your coaches are asking you to push yourself because that's the nature of the sport. That's the nature of the game.
Well, today's generation is a little bit, and I'm not saying this in a denigrating way. Yeah. I think it's just a statement of fact. Today's generation is different than when you and I were going through or before us.
Okay. That's fair to say. Now, so some of the culture of mistreatment and abuse.
Say his name again, Simon?
Simon, yeah.
Savanovich. Mm-hmm. He also was outspoken about unionization on multiple occasions.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think that those kind of things, the culture, you know, razzing, you know, being mocked if you're injured or sitting out, yeah, not ideal. Does it rise to the level of abuse? I don't know. That's more like how much can you take. I think that's more mental toughness as much as anything. Where I think it gets to be very dangerous territory, and I think this could be documented, and I think this is where the Illinois may have, I don't want to say a problem, but an issue they need to explore.
Mm-hmm.
He claims that he was going in for simple arthroscopic knee surgery.
I agree. This is the issue.
And as a junior in December 13, and he wasn't told that he had 40% of his medial meniscus taken out until he demanded answers in August.
But that makes no sense. That makes no sense. If I'm having, I'm the coach.
It's quite a claim to make if you cannot back it up.
Okay, you're an intelligent guy, academic, All-American, the whole thing. You are going in for surgery. I'm the head coach at Ball State, and I say, this is our team doctor, Mike, and he's going to do your surgery. You're telling me that you, an intelligent guy who graduated from the University of Illinois, this kid I'm talking mm-hmm. about, your parents are not going to go, can you explain to me what we're doing here? What is the procedure? You're just going to let them roll you in on a gurney and ask no questions?
I would not be that person, no. I mean, I would certainly want to know everything that's happening to my body because of the injury I incurred on the football field.
Correct.
And I would be entitled to that information. What's baffling about this, Cap, is I agree with you. I don't know why we would make this claim unless he could support it. I don't know why his parents would let him come forward with this kind of claim unless they could support it. His brother's a part of this program.
Mm-hmm.
They are no strangers to Illinois football. So if I'm the Illinois athletic director, if I'm Mike Thomas, if I'm the Illinois president, if I'm a board of trustee member, I want to know the answer to the question that you're posing here.
Correct.
How in the world could you have somebody representing your university for 5 years, under five different offensive line coaches, by the way, make this sort of claim if it's not true? He may be baseless. He may be out in left field, but I've got to explore this.
Well,
I've got to appoint people who are independent investigators to get to the bottom of this.
There's a number of issues that have to be discussed here. I would call Tim Beckman and go, okay, get over to my office right now. I'm the school president. We got to talk about this kid and what went on. But the other first call that I would make would be to Dr. Jacobson, or whoever did the surgery, and
yeah.
go, okay, hold on a second.
Did you explain it?
Did you explain what you were doing to him, to his parents, to anybody, or did he just walk in, let you stick a needle in his arm, put him under, and start operating?
Well, That's you're right. You need to get to that number.
Tell me
one.
The kid didn't sign a release before you have surgery. I had surgery.
You're still entitled to know what happened to your body, even though you signed a lot of paperwork. You're a college athlete.
I had surgery, and I remember them saying to me, here's the risks. You could die. This could happen. You sign waivers and forms. I'm stunned by this.
There's a tremendous amount of trust that players place in the programs they represent mm-hmm. when it comes to medical issues. And that trust, he's claiming, was betrayed. I have to explore that if I'm Illinois.
I agree.
I cannot take that lightly. Number two, there's an allegation included here that they use an unlicensed medical head trainer
mm-hmm.
that was not licensed in Illinois. That's a big problem for Illinois if true. That's a big problem. You can't in this day and age do that.
Well, remember the Cubs had that when Jim Hendry was the general manager. Dave Greshner was hired away from the San Francisco Giants. He was brought here. He had not gotten his Illinois certification,
okay.
but he was licensed in multiple states. I know for sure in California. So it wasn't though he was an unlicensed trainer. He just didn't have... The paperwork had not been filed.
It looks sloppy, Cap. It looks sloppy.
No question.
For a program where protocol has to be observed.
Agreed.
And respected in your college program, you cannot have this kind of sloppiness. Somebody has to be held accountable for that. So that's mm-hmm. number two. The other thing that it's troubling in this narrative as we see it unfold on social media and fine reporting by Shannon Ryan really scrambling to get a story in today's Chicago Tribune. Bill Cubitt has... the offensive coordinator is being accused of things that he needs to answer for. They need to look at the when you're talking about an assistant coach pressuring players, that's one thing. But when Savanovich is accusing Bill Cubitt of telling him to go light on his medication for antidepressants that he was taking because the effects it had on him, because he took some medication. He was anxious about fall camp, and he took some medication before going to fall camp, and it had a negative impact on his body. And Cubitt said to back off on that. That's bad. It's not Dr. Beckman. It's not Dr. Cubitt.
Right, if this happened.
I'm saying if this happened. I'm not saying that it did happen, and I don't think that we can take any player's word for it necessarily as gospel. But it does raise my suspicion if I am – in the Illinois administration, I don't give the football program the benefit of the doubt. I have to take every accusation and allegation seriously because I consider the source. And even though this guy might be disgruntled and teammates have gone at him at social media calling him a quitter, this is somebody that, you know, which is it? He was representing you proudly for the better half of 4.5 years. You can't just abandon that now. You can't forget that now. You've got to explore this, investigate this to its fullest extent.
Agreed.
Get to the bottom of it. Tim Beckman, will this cost you your job? I don't know. It's too early to say that.
Depends what the investigation
shows. We need to have a thorough, though, vetting of what happened, why it happened, and what was your role in it because it is your program.
But it's also very important that the media not overreact to the allegations made by the kid that denigrate a program, a coach, a doctor, an AD, whatever it is, until we know those are accurate. Because I remember 2 or 3 summers ago, allegations against Wisconsin Green Bay head coach Brian Wardle of being abusive and being this and being that and pushing one kid real hard who ended up puking at a drill. Well, the investigation turned up that he had done nothing wrong. He's now the head coach at Bradley and had a good run at Green Bay. So until we know the facts, we got to make sure we keep a very impartial eye.
Yeah, I mean, that's all. Yeah, fairness is obviously the standard. I mean, you have to be fair in exploring this, but that's also you have to be fair to the information that you have at your disposal. And right now it's an allegation in the form of backed up by pretty specific anecdotal evidence, and it's balanced by Illinois' statement yesterday by last night. By Tim Beckman, who, you know, basically was a very sanitized statement. They need to get in front of this.
Mm-hmm.
They need to
say today, we will have a full-scale investigation. If this stuff is accurate, heads will roll. But if it doesn't, we want our coach exonerated.
They need to say exactly that. They need to start that process, and they need to be as transparent as they possibly can. If they are going to hide behind, and I say hide behind, it sounds negative. if they're going to use federal law to say they can't discuss somebody's medical history, I want to know if they can discuss something that that patient has already broached publicly.
Mm-hmm. Or if the kid truly wants the truth to come out, the truth.
Give consent.
Then he should say, I'll sign any waiver you want.
Right. And if he provides consent, then they can discuss it. I just think that you have the that it's a pretty simple process to begin. You talk to the doctors who did the surgery. You talk to you explain the trainer certification process. Did you fail? Did you not fail in that regard? And you get a balanced narrative from the coaches who were involved, who are being accused of things by this ex-player, to see exactly what happened.
Agreed.
You've got to be proactive here, and you cannot. You know, you say that the media has to be responsible. That goes without saying, but if you're Illinois, you have to try to shape the message, so it is a fair message that
right.
everyone
My
receives.
My one problem with the media, me, you, everybody in the media in general, these will be splashed everywhere. These headlines: coach abuses player, coach does this, doctor does that. And then they'll announce an investigation, and 2 months later, you'll see this tiny little story. Yeah, Tim Beckman and the staff were exonerated. If he's found to have really done this, then it deserves to be splashed everywhere. That's the big problem sometimes. So-and-so gets DUI. It's front headline. And then 3 months later, he goes to court, and the charges were thrown out. It's just it's not always fair and balanced. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying. I think that that's a it's idealist. I mean – ideally, you would get the same amount of coverage and attention. But what this is a reaction to. This is a shocking allegation, a surprise from an ex-player that had, you know, had a pretty good experience. And the fact that that is why it commands headlines. Surprises always do.
Right.
You know, you're anticipating the fallout. That always creates more interest and intrigue than the resolution of something that maintains the status quo.
Tim Beckman wants the media's help. You remember, we're all in this together.
Yeah. Well, that was one of his more unfortunate press conferences.
I can say that our academic standards have gone skyrocket.
Yeah, you could say that. You could say that. I don't know that this was any sort of academic allegations involved, although if you read his Twitter feed closely, I'm sure there was something on there about study table, study hall. He was firing on all cylinders. And you know, if you're Illinois, you've got to look into this. This is bad publicity for the program. There have been other players that have left the program, high profile players. Aaron Bailey comes to mind. You've got to get in front of this. You cannot hide behind this. Oh, it'll just go away. This is Sox a disgruntled ex-player.
Sox have won 4 of 6. Cubs lose 2 of 3 again to the Brew Crew last night, losing in 11 innings yesterday late afternoon. We'll get into some baseball. We got page 2 time possibly after our next break. We still have some calls to get into. And you want to talk about throwing your coach under the bus? Ryan Suter speaking this morning from the Minnesota Wild. We'll get into that.
All right.
A lot to do. It's Kevin Hawk.
From Tribune Tower Chicago, this is Cap'n Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Yes! Yes! And this ballgame is over! Marcy! Gordon Beckham!
I wasn't trying to do too much. I was just trying to really just put the barrel of the bat on the ball. I mean, because you can't wait around with a guy like that. So you just try to hit it and hope it finds some grass.
Got to get it on the grass, right?
Sounds like a NFL player's weekend plans.
No
find
question.
Some grass.
There you go. That is Gordon Beckham, who gets the big hit off of Aroldis Chapman. White Sox take 2 of 3 from the Reds. They drop game 1 of the double dip on Saturday. They come back with an 8-2 smashing behind Carlos Rodon. and then they win yesterday in walk-off fashion. Cap'n Hawk continues at Comcast SportsNet and WGN Plus. Yeah, while the Sox were winning 2 of 3, Cubs were losing 2 of 3.
Really happy for Gordon Beckham. I think that when you look at guys who you would like to see succeed in this town and have had sort of a rough go of it at times, Gordon, he's in your top 5 or 10. I mean, he's a guy that has struggled.
Good dude.
High expectations, really quality individual. And so he came back this time not knowing what to expect. His role is still somewhat unsettled. But he's, you know, given a professional effort and having some limited success. And I think yesterday when he does something like that, you're happy for him. And the Sox now, they did not do that against any ordinary reliever.
Mm-hmm.
You do that against Chapman.
One of
the
best.
That means something. And Avi Garcia continues to be a little bit of a hot streak here.
Mm-hmm.
And that was nice to see them persevere because they had a rough weekend, had to sit out the Friday cancellation, have a doubleheader Saturday, and then they take the series on Sunday.
Yep. Now they'll move on to Milwaukee, where the Brew Crew is coming off of taking the series again from the Chicago Cubs, who two issues for me. We'll get into Chris Bryant hit his first home run. That was cool. They all ran out of the dugout and hid in the back, you know, the tunnel, and it was funny. That said, starting pitching has not taken him deep enough, with the exception Lester was really good Wednesday.
Has not been good enough, though.
But he's come on. But the rest of the crew, Jake Arrieta hasn't been great his last two starts. Kyle Hendricks hasn't been great. Travis Wood has not been good. Hamill's been very good, and Lester's been very good. But they got to get more out of their starting pitching, and their bullpen stinks. It's not been good at all.
Is that because of injury, or is that because of they're just maybe the guys are taking that step back? You never quite know what you have in a bullpen from year to year.
Right.
No part of a baseball team maybe vacillates more from season to season than that. Maybe this is the year as high as they were last year, as good as they were at times.
Mm-hmm.
Is this just coming down to earth?
Yeah, I mean, you still don't have Neil Ramirez. He was
that hurt him bad.
Huge factor.
Yeah.
Justin Grimm just came back after a stint on the DL. Edwin Jackson, can we admit now that the Edwin Jackson signing hasn't worked? They tried him in the pen. He's not any good. He's a nice man. Just eat the money and move on.
Trade value?
None. Zippo.
Throw in? Just release him. You're thinking just release him, period?
Unless you got a bigger deal cooking that I don't know about.
Can he eat innings in you know, mop-up style?
I guess in a mop-up game. I mean, David Ross pitched the other night, for crying out loud.
What are the chances that he kind of fills in that long relief role?
Yeah, funny guy. Look, Edwin's
personal
a nice
catcher.
Guy. Just admit it didn't work, eat the money, and go, we're moving on.
You suck!
How do you think Joe Maddon's handling all this? He does not seem concerned at all.
No, he does not.
Expected this kind of... You know,
up and down with a young
flow.
Team.
They're a 500 team. That's what they are right now. That's kind of what they're going to be, right?
As of right now. Now, the 03 Chicago Cubs, 03, more of a veteran team back then, but they had some young.
They were 500 on May 11th.
They were 500 in July when they made the trade for Kenny Lofton and Aramis Ramirez. They were a 500 team in July.
What's the latest on the whisper campaign for Cole Hamels? Any?
I have not heard a thing on that one.
Quiet.
I heard it was unrealistic what they were asking for, the Phillies.
You have a problem with Addison Russell batting ninth as good as he has been? Do you think he's going to stay there? Do you think that's – Joe Maddon was asked about that over the weekend, said, no, he's going to stay ninth. We're fine with the way we do this. That's what we do.
Yeah, I have no issues with that.
Where's an ideal spot for him in the order? Two?
Eventually?
Two?
Maybe the two hole. He's got a little pop in his bat.
Yeah, he does. I mean, it really does. He's shown that.
Anthony Rizzo – having a phenomenal year.
Really good year. He has really responded well. He's the guy that's been steady in the clubhouse, on the field, at the plate.
The big hit, he was facing the lefty out of the Brewer pen yesterday, down 2-1, two outs. And he, if you watch the replay of it, he does not get his arms, nothing. He doesn't get his body. He just kind of goes out there and flicks it, and he gets over the head of Ryan Braun. Dexter Fowler comes all the way around and scores. Play that probably should have been made by the catcher at the plate. And the Cubs tie it. Then they lose it in walk-off fashion.
Cubs-Mets. I love two-out runs, man.
Yeah, so do I, man.
Cubs-Mets tonight at Wrigley Field, the first reopening of the bleachers.
Yep.
That's supposed to be a big deal.
Tomorrow night, Noah Syndergaard, their number one prospect for the Mets, will pitch against the Cubs in his debut.
That will be a big moment.
Yeah, I'll be out there
for that.
Do you still
hate the Mets, any part of you? Are you? I know you hate the Cardinals as a Cub fan, but
I hate the Cardinals way more than the Mets.
Is there hatred for the Mets still? Nah. Didn't that sort of?
I was 8 years old when that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any how big of a buzz is this series getting on New York radio, Big Capple?
They're into it.
They're
excited.
The Mets coming to Wrigley. It's a big deal.
Chris Bryant against Matt Harvey and Noah Syndergaard, and I think Jacob DeGrom, the DeGrominator, is going tonight.
The DeGrominator.
Yeah, it's DeGrominator against Lester tonight. I'm excited to watch it. I really am.
As you pointed out, you missed Chris Bryant's first home run because you were at CVS.
Buying a Mother's Day card.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Nice planning. Although, I think everyone sort of waits for the last minute a lot of times, right? That was Saturday, right?
What night was it? Saturday?
Saturday night. Yeah. I mean, you had like 4 hours to spare.
I'd already gotten her gifts.
That's great. I just
hadn't gotten the card.
That's great. Did you address it to Nancy Negative?
Yeah, I walked in the house and
I can't believe you called your wife Nancy Negative on television.
She is.
Come on. I'm sorry I opened that door. Close it.
Fans need to be positive. All fans out there.
Okay.
Be positive.
But wasn't it funny? Or is it cliche anymore? But when Chris Bryant came back to the dugout, it was empty.
Completely empty.
He saw it happening, though. The picture of his first home run, whether he saw that or he had a grin, a sort of a little tiny smile, rounding first.
A wry smile. That would be W-R-Y.
Yeah, right, yeah. Rounding first base. That was kind of funny. I thought it was good. But it took him 21 games to get there. He's on pace to have 8 home runs.
In his career. 312-235-2525. He'll be just fine. Jeff Samardzija to the bump tonight, back from his suspension.
Oh, boy, that was a long suspension.
Yeah.
I hope he learned his
lesson. Had a lot of teeth in that suspension.
If any of those guys want a piece of Samardzija, he'll be happy to oblige.
What'd you make of Robin's coyness when asked about Carlos Rodon and what his future holds? Oh, he'll be pitching. He's on the team.
What's he supposed to say?
That he's as good of a starter as we have right now.
I'll tell you this. John Danks pitched yesterday like a man who saw Carlos Rodon start on Saturday.
Exactly. It's the updraft. It makes everybody around you better because they see this rookie coming in, lights out. He had a very good start Saturday night. He did as much as he could have done.
We're watching the game in the newsroom. We had, that would have been Cubs, Brewers, White Sox, Reds on Saturday night. I think the Grizzlies game was on. And maybe there was a hockey game on. We have all this going in the newsroom, and we're looking at the pitch count of Rodon.
Yeah.
Holly and I, and he's like, okay, you take him out right here at the end of maybe the fifth inning. Mm-hmm. He was at like 90 pitches. He's pitched well. He feels good. No, he comes back out, and the next inning, I think in the sixth, he's hitting 97 miles an hour on his 100th pitch.
He hit 99. You don't have a pitcher that – justifies starting instead of him,
mm-hmm.
right?
Agreed.
Figure it out, White Sox. Figure out how – wouldn't you be better – what do you think is a better idea to figure out a way – okay, six-inning cap if you want.
Mm-hmm.
He pitches no more than six innings, but keep in –
just go pitch count, pitch number.
Pitch count, okay, whatever. Whatever it is you want to measure it by. And go at it that way. Because what else are you going to accomplish by keeping him in the bullpen? You're preserving his arm, but you can preserve his arm and keep him in the rotation where he's more comfortable. Because didn't that read everything that you read and heard from him? He's more comfortable starting.
And as Mike just so perfectly put it, Hector no Wessies.
Yeah, Hector no more.
Yeah, he's not too good.
He's struggling. But what did you expect, realistically?
Right.
So Rodon could be your third or your fourth starter. And I think that he has earned that right. Just make sure you watch his pitch count. Don't get carried away. Figure it out.
312-235-2525. We have some page two to cover and some calls to get to. Between this show, Sports Talk Live, Cubs pre and post, Comcast, working a lot. For the few hours I have, it's important for me to get deep, restful sleep. And I've never slept better now that I sleep on a MyPillow. First night you sleep on one, you'll understand why they've sold over 5 million of them. Three-piece interlocking fill conforms to your preferred shape. Four different support levels guarantees you the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. MyPillow has a cooling effect that keeps your head cool throughout the night. MyPillow is so confident you'll love them, they'll give you a 60-day money-back guarantee. They refund 100% of the purchase price, but Trust me, you're going to love your new MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code CAP, K-A-P, for 50% off. Or call 800-299-5854. MyPillow.com, 800-299-5854. The promo code is K-A-P, 50% off. They're a great, great advertiser here. 312-235-2525. Quick timeout. Cap and Haw.
Tribune Tower Chicago. This is Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Talking about 2015. What have you done for me lately? Janet Jackson.
Okay.
You want me to sing that?
Sing it.
No,
first.
You don't.
What have you done for me lately?
Welcome back at Cap and Haw.
Oh, way back, 1987.
Sing it for us, buddy.
No, that's got to be 87. 88? I think it's around there. Check it out.
Cap and Hawk continues at Comcast Sportsnet WGN
Jackson,
Plus.
If you're nasty.
Chad Graff, who I follow from the St. Paul Pioneer Press, very good writer.
Right.
He's at the final media session for the seasons this morning with the Minnesota Wild and their coaches. I wish we hadn't waited until the last game to make adjustments to the power play. That's a direct broadside at the head coach, Mike Yeo. Chad Graff also says Thomas Vanek, when asked what the Minnesota Wild power play needs to do better next season, how much time do you have?
Okay, I don't disagree that it's a direct indictment of Mike Yeo, his head coach. How is that, though, worse than anything LeBron said? How is what LeBron said? Yeah, they're very similar. I mean, they're very much direct shots at questioning publicly a head coach's ability to do his job. Totally. As one colleague of mine said, put it very directly about talking about LeBron now. Threw him under the bus with a freight train coming up afterward. This is what LeBron said about David Blatt and the last play.
To be honest, the play that was drawn up, I scratched it. And I just told Coach, just give me the ball. And, we either going to go in overtime or I'm going to win it for us. It was that simple.
Were you supposed to inbound on the original play?
I was. I was supposed to take the ball out. I told Coach, there's no way I'm taking the ball out unless I could shoot it over the backboard and go in. I told him, have somebody else take the ball. I'll give me the ball and everybody get out the way.
To be honest, you can't coach me. To be honest, I think you're a fool. To be honest, your play stinks. To be honest, I am the head coach. You are my underling.
Yeah, see, I don't see it that way, and I don't think he was.
You're the only person I've talked to that sees it the way you see it. The only person at the game.
I mean,
in the press room, covering the game, I don't know how you could look at it any other way but LeBron pointing a finger at a guy he doesn't have any faith in.
If he had said, look, Coach, are you out of your mind? You're an idiot. Come on, I'm taking the ball. You know that. That's different. When he goes, look, I told Coach, we're going to scratch that. I'm taking it. I'll either win it or I'll get us to overtime. One of the two. I don't see where he's denigrating the head coach. I know.
To be honest, the play that was drawn up, I scratched it.
I told Coach.
I scratched it.
I'm getting the ball.
I don't believe you are smart enough to get us a victory. I scratched it.
Okay, what if that coach had been Steve Kerr and he said that?
I think that whoever the coach was in that circumstance, you had a player raising public doubt about his head coach's ability to win a game. So Coach X or Y or Z, choo-choo, here comes that freight train.
So if that coach had been Phil Jackson.
There goes that bus.
That was Phil Jackson. You'd say the same thing.
I would think that he's raising doubts about Phil Jackson. The result would not be the same because David Blatt does not have 1 ounce of the credibility built up in the NBA that Phil Jackson has.
I don't disagree, but my question is if that had been Phil Jackson,
it would be more
Greg
egregious.
Popovich,
it would be more egregious.
More egregious?
Probably if LeBron is raising questions and changing plays that Greg Popovich calls for him and Phil Jackson calls for his team, you'd have a Scottie Pippen moment. I'm going to sit down in 1.8 seconds left.
Yeah, I think you guys are thinking way too much on this.
Then tell Casey Johnson that too And tell the people who were covering that game, too, who have been around the Bulls forever.
Okay, but I'm telling you, NBA head coaches that I asked said they had no issue with it. And if they had been them, they would have gone, yeah, okay, go for it. No issues with it. They did not see it in the condescending manner that the media is. I just don't agree. We can agree to disagree. Robert in Bourbonnais. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Captain Hall.
Hey, Robert.
What's up, buddy?
Thanks for waiting.
Robert, you there, buddy?
Robert.
Robert. Call us. There you are.
What's up?
Yeah, you hear me?
Yep. Now we got you.
Hey, what's up, Captain Hall? My thing is, forget about LeBron getting the ball. He can get the ball. I've got the Defensive Player of the Year on my team from last year. I got Najee Muhammad at the end of the bench. Those two are going to be on him. Taj Gibson is going to be on JR, and there's nothing else going on. Nobody else can hit a shot. That's the game right there going into overtime.
Why would you use Najee?
He's 6'11". He would have never got the ball. The guy taking the ball out only had to throw the ball like 4 feet to the right. If you go back and look, there was really – Jimmy couldn't really do nothing else. If you have those two over there, LeBron doesn't get the ball. That guy is not even a great point guard. What is he going to do if them two are over there sticking LeBron? He's not going to throw the ball over there. He's going to throw it somewhere else.
I don't know that Najee would have answered the question. I don't know that I would have.
No. I promise you, I played a lot of ball. I've done some media stuff with the Clippers. I'm telling you, definitely that would have worked. If Tom Thibodeau is a great X and O coach and he's a great defensive-minded coach, you play to the strength of your team.
Well, it's easy for us to all look back and say this now. I would have doubled LeBron and not let him caught the ball. But, you know, to bring Najee Muhammad in, we appreciate your call. I don't know about that one.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Let's go to Jose in Indiana. Hey, Jose.
Hey, Jose.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Cap.
Yeah.
If you look at your, if you said you had to watch the film 15 times. On the right-hand side, that referee all the way at the end was right down the line when that coach was stepping out of bounds and calling time. He should have called technical.
Correct, and, but what they're saying is that they didn't see it. And I called a guy who's worked in the NBA as an official for 30 years. I said, explain to me what's taught there. And he said, we are not taught to look at the bench when we know a team's out of timeouts. We're watching, are you holding a jersey? Are you illegally screening? Are you pushing off? He goes, we're looking at so many other things. Yeah, it's easy for you guys to go, we should have called a technical foul on him. He goes, I'm assuming those three guys never heard the call. Period, end of story. He goes, the conspiracy stuff is garbage.
No, I'm just saying, but he was right down the line. He should have been looking straight down the line. That's the way I seen it. Also, everybody, you guys were even complaining about Gasol whining so much. I swear, LeBron whines more than anybody.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about that.
That's the whole thing.
There's no
also,
question.
On Beckham, I'm glad to see. You know, when he came up, he was a great college player. He had all the credentials for the college player. And the White Sox put him in and put him down to minus for about 300 bats, and then they brought him up.
Not even
I
that.
I think he was overmatched.
You can't say, and we appreciate your call, Jose, you can't say he was overmatched because when he was a rookie, he looked like he was going to be a
superstar. He looked like
superstar.
He belonged. I mean, I remember his at-bats being for Sox fans must-watch events.
He looked like,
you stopped
oh,
what
man.
You were doing, like, okay, Gordon Beckham's up. Everyone come in. Come back.
You look at his numbers. He hit over 300. People thought, that guy's going to be the next big thing in Chicago baseball.
He was compared, like, oh, boy, doesn't he remind you of Paul Molitor?
Gordon Beckham!
That's how people got carried away with Gordon Beckham.
Right.
And he was great out of Georgia, played shortstop there. Played third base his first season with the White Sox. Just never been able to live up to that kind of potential. Maybe it was overboard. But I don't know that it had to – did they ring up too fast? I don't know. He really succeeded quickly.
It's easy to
quickly.
Look back on that now.
Dan Pompey with a couple of interesting comments on Twitter I want to get to before we get out of here. Dan Pompey was at the Bears rookie minicamp over the weekend. We talked to Dan Wiederer about from the Sun-Times. And I'm the Tribune. Sorry.
You know what? You're
a jerk.
I'm just
kidding. I am a jerk. Okay. Dan Pompey. Kevin White had a dominant rookie camp. He had tons of balls thrown his way and caught many, some impressive fashion. But listen to this, Cap. Kevin White is impressively big and strong, has the quickness to change directions. Easily the most impressive rookie wide receiver I've ever seen walk through the doors at Halas Hall.
Pretty good.
And that sounds really, like, big.
You named the last receiver the Bears took in the first round.
David Terrell.
And they took one before him, too. I think at the same pick, Curtis Conway.
Number 7 overall.
Yeah.
Yeah, 19-something-something, 93.
That was Wani.
That was Wani? Was that his first draft pick?
It was.
So, and Curtis Conway was a pretty polished receiver coming out of USC. And I think Dan Pompey was covering the team back in 1993. So he's saying that's no small statement. That's a mouthful for Dan Pompey, who is not prone to exaggeration.
Mm-hmm.
Who is not prone to hyperbole.
He's not.
The most impressive
prone
rookie.
To sneaking out of the ring Lardner early and getting caught.
I can't believe you busted him for that. He was just going to watch tape.
Yeah, exactly. Draft was already over, buddy. By the way, Magic Johnson just tweeting 1 minute ago. I never thought I'd say this, but I think the Clippers can win the NBA championship. They have a little bit of everything.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be something? That's a big statement for him.
That is. Well, the way they're playing right now, would you say they can't? Blake Griffin, Chris Paul. And Chris Paul's even banged up.
It's going to be the Clip joint and the Grizz to get to the final.
DeAndre Jordan. Oh, boy, those are going to be some long NBA Finals games, though. Hacking him 35 times a game. Goodness sakes. That's bad to watch.
Awful.
That's bad for the league.
And we'll talk about that tomorrow because they got to change that rule.
Yes, they do.
Get that hack a Shaq.
All right, so we will be back
out
tomorrow talking about Bulls, Hawks,
baseball, and
have
more.
Have a good one.
Have a great day.
Yep.
See ya.
All right. Well, see you later.